This is Digital Story Podcast number 997, April 29, 2025. Today's theme is Outdoor Gear Guide 2025. I'm Derek Story. As we stand at May's doorstep, thoughts of outdoor adventure enter our minds. Yes, we want to take pictures, but we're also looking forward to enjoying just being in nature. And we can do that so comfortably with just a few outdoor accessories. And that's what I'm going to share with you today. I hope you enjoy the show. So I have the ID4 packed and ready to go on a scouting trip for the upcoming Redwoods workshop that we have in just a couple weeks. And I love to go out and I just camp on these trips and scout all the areas. You know, I have a list of potential sites that we're going to go during the workshop. And I work that all out online or from past experience, things like that. I build the itinerary and then I head out with my tent box, rooftop tent on top of the ID4 and the back filled with camping equipment. And I head out to find the best locations from that list for our workshop. Plus along the way, I'll be stopping at the Klamath Holiday Inn, which will be our headquarters during the workshop. Say hi to those folks. Make sure the meeting areas are up to our high quality standards. So it's going to be a terrific trip. And the thing that has been going on for years for me, I mean, this is a lifelong pursuit to make camping as enjoyable, as comfortable, and as lightweight as possible. It's an eternal quest. And I, you know, it very much parallels my approach to photography, which is I want to have the gear that allows me to do what I want to do, but I don't want anything more than that. And the gear that I have, I want to be very light and efficient, you know. So I look at my camping gear the same way. And this trip, it's unbelievable, really, you know, what we have at our fingertips these days. But I'm not taking any gas at all on this trip because I'm on the move. I'm not parking somewhere for 3 days and just camping in one spot where I'm going to have a fire ring and all that kind of stuff. I'm scouting during the day, hitting the campsite probably about 5 o'clock, have some dinner, relax a little bit, get some sleep, and then get up the next morning and hit the next group of sites. So I'm on the move a lot, and so I want to travel light, I want to have easy cleanup, all that kind of stuff. And I go electric when I'm going light. And I have to tell you, and I'll cover some of this equipment in this podcast, but not having any gas at all with me is really kind of cool. I don't have any gas in the car. I don't have gas for the cooking equipment. Everything is electricity. All my cooking stuff is run by a power station that is refueled by solar panels. Everything is efficient. There's nothing to throw away at the end of the trip. You know, no empty canisters, none of that stuff. No emissions while I'm cooking. Just nice, clean stuff that's very efficient, very easy to use, and honestly, easy to clean up with afterwards. So I'm going to have some of that stuff, and then I have other goodies too that have no relationship at all to cooking or energy or any of that. So I got a nice list here. Let's just get started. Let's dig in. The first thing is the Grand Peak 2-in-1 Stool and Footrest. This is a $49 item, and this fits into the category. One of the areas I've changed over a lot are my camping chairs, the footrest, table, all that kind of stuff, because they used to take up so much space in the back of the car, I didn't have room for anything else. And yes, the chairs are comfortable and all that, but if they take up a ton of space, then, I don't know. You don't have room for other stuff, or you leave stuff behind, all that good stuff. Both the camping chair I'm going to talk about and the stool and footrest, they collapse into really tiny packages, yet They're light and they're very comfortable. I mean, they work great and they take a fraction of the space. So this little footrest, let me read you what they say. A sizable footrest or a convenient stool, robust structure, stay dry fabric, innovative elastic cord assembly, also doubles as a handy side table, and easily packable to fit in a tight space. And when I say fit in a tight space, I mean it can go in your day pack. It's that small when it packs up. Now, the stool holds, I think, up to 275 pounds, I want to say. So you can sit on it. So it can be a temporary stool if you're out working in the field. If you have your camera set up on a tripod or something like that, you know, where you're just sort of hanging out. I use it in combination with the camp chair because I like to put my feet up when I reach camp. You know, it's time. You put in a good day's work. You've scouted out locations. You went on a big hike, whatever. You want to come back, have a nice cold refreshment. Sit in your camp chair, put your feet up, and just watch nature. I mean, and somehow watching nature is more fun when your feet are elevated on a nice little stool. By the way, I have links to all of these because they come from different spots. I have links to all of these in the show notes. So you just go to the show notes and you'll have links and descriptions for everything I talk about in this podcast. So the first one is the 2-in-1 stool and footrest, and it's from Grand Peak. Now, my choice for chair, I tested a number of chairs. In fact, I even tested the Grand Peak chair. I have one, and I like it a lot. But the one that I end up, you know, choosing to sit in the most when I'm camping is my Big Agnes Mica Basin Camp Chair XL. They have two sizes, and I really like the XL. It's a lightweight, compact backpacking chair available in an extra large size, and it's really kind of comfortable. You know, you have a little bit more room to move around in. However, that doesn't affect its packing ability. It still packs down really small. Its patented frame construction light aircraft aluminum pole system with self-equalizing center pole levels the chair on uneven ground. Solid color fabric styles are lightweight, high tenacity Robic nylon and polyester ripstop for extra tear strength and waterproof UTS coating. And yes, that is aircraft aluminum frame. And what they do is they have the pole and nylon shock cord set up. Now, sometimes competitive chair companies, they make fun of these and they show the person like, oh, I can't do it. It's so hard. Not like that at all. These things are so easy to set up. You know, they're all fitted so they can only go one way, right? And they're all connected together. I can set up this chair in, I don't know, a minute and a half, something like that, really fast. Now, if you've never set up one of these ultralight chairs, by the way, which are ultra comfortable, you do have to stretch the fabric in order to get it into the ends of the poles. Don't worry about ruining the fabric. This fabric is designed to handle this, so just go ahead. Bend those poles and stretch that fabric, get it in there. The nice thing about it being so tight is that when you sit in it, it's a nice, comfortable, supportive chair, right? It's not all loosey-goosey kind of thing. You know, when I first started working with these kinds of chairs, I was going, it doesn't fit, it doesn't work, you know? And I just go, no, you just got to muscle it. You just got to muscle it. Once you know how to muscle it, they're fantastic. So there are lots of competitive chairs. You can find chairs for cheaper. Tested like four or five of them now. This is the one that I like. I think it's very comfortable, even though it costs a little bit more at $129 than some of the other ones. It's really nice. And so it's my recommendation. And again, takes up a fraction of the space in the car that the other chairs do. All right, let's get to cooking. Let's do a couple little cooking things. I have two cookers. They're both electric powered. And so I use a little power station for that. And I'll give you my recommendation for a power station in a minute. But the first one I want to talk about is a Joli electric kettle pot. This is $99. I'm fascinated by this little versatile pot. Now, I also have a mini rice cooker I'm going to talk about in a minute that's a lot cheaper. It's awesome as well, and I use the two together. But this electric pot, I can boil water in it. And then what I do is when I'm boiling water for my coffee in the morning, I do pour over coffee. I have a Sierra cup that just fits over the top of this electric kettle. And then I start warming something up. So I use it sort of as a two-pot boiler as well. I boil water in it, have the little Sierra cup on top, have some food that I'm warming up, put the lid on it, and just let it go. It has three settings. So it has just a hot water setting where you can just tell it to boil water fast. And it does boil water fast, just a few minutes. Almost as fast, I would say, as my JetBoil gas stove. So it really hauls. And of course, because it's electric, it doesn't seem to be affected as much by altitude as the gas stoves do. And then it has a cook setting, so you can cook food in there. And it goes from very hot to like a warming thing. And it actually shows you a diagram of how that works. So you have a cook setting, a hot water setting. And then you have a popcorn setting, which is really trippy, so that you can make popcorn in this thing while you're camping, which is really fun. I've done it. It works. It doesn't make as much popcorn as I normally like to eat. You know, it's sort of like, oh, do I have to make more popcorn now? But it does make popcorn. It's pretty wild. It's 500 watts. So in the world of kettles, most kettles that you would use at home for making tea or whatever, they're about 1,000 watts, sometimes even more, 1,100 or 1,200 watts. And, you know, they boil water quickly. This one at 500 watts, so half the energy, or less than half the energy of some of the home kettles, it boils water really fast. But the nice thing about the 500 watt level is that you can use a smaller battery to power this thing. So your power station doesn't have to be one of those big, heavy ones that are too heavy to carry. You can get by with less energy. And so 500 watts is a big deal on the success of this device. This is very portable. It packs very easy. I think this thing is terrific. For a $99 appliance, I see it, you know, lasting basically as long as I'm camping. And that's the Joli electric kettle pot. Again, link in the show notes. Now, another thing I started carrying with me for overnights, like for instance, the electric kettle I always have with me because a lot of times I like to make coffee or tea or something during the day, even if it's only a day trip. But the mini rice cooker that I started packing, I'm using it for camping trips every time now. The cool thing about mini rice cookers, I think they're magical. First of all, they do rice, and they do rice super well. All you do is put in, you know, 1 cup of rice, 2 cups of water, close it up and turn it on. And then it tells you when it's done, and the rice is perfect every time. When I'm camping, what I do is I make the rice. And so, you know, you're eating clean food, right? It's just rice. It's a bag of organic rice, and you add water. Then I bring along chicken, carrots, onions, a little teriyaki seasoning, and you just do it all in this little one-pot cooker. This thing only draws 200 watts. It's amazing. It only 200 watts, yet you can cook your whole dinner in about 20 minutes. Fantastic. Now, the other thing that I discovered it works great for is oatmeal in the morning. I like to use old-fashioned oats. They're the ones that usually take about 5 minutes on stovetop. I use old-fashioned oats in this. Again, 1 cup oats, 2 cups water, close it up, turn it on. They turn out perfect every time. So it's a super useful tool. You can heat up soups in there. Really anything that your imagination can think of. It's a closed system, and you don't open it until the light switches over and that it's ready to go. The one that I like is the Ma Cook Mini Rice Cooker. M-A-C-O-O-K, mini rice cooker. Again, I have the link in the show notes. It's $29. It cooks 1 to 3 cups, also suitable for soup, oatmeal, pasta, veggies, stew, and more. The small capacity allows for a healthier portion control. Also, the small capacity also allows it to pack easily, super easily, in my camping gear. The aluminum inner pot is treated with food-grade nonstick coating, and I've been using this brand now for almost a year, and the coating is fantastic. So, like when I make oatmeal in the morning, after I scoop out the oatmeal into the bowl, I just put a little water in the cook pot, and then I just clean it up, just wipe it out. It's like, it works fantastic. No mess at all. So you can make oatmeal, rice, all that with virtually no mess. Pot comes out separately. It's also dishwasher safe. I don't bring a dishwasher for camping, but if you're using it at home. And again, only 200 watts this thing draws. It's so efficient, so fantastic. And the thing about rice cookers is it just feels like they work perfectly every time. They're amazing. And this is $29. It's a steal, I tell you. Even if you don't take it camping, making lunch and breakfast, I just put it, like when I come to the studio, I have oatmeal in the morning, I put it on, and then I go and set everything up. You know, by the time I have the studio all up and running, the oatmeal's ready, come back, eat it. Fantastic. Easy cleanup. Talking about things to power these electric appliances, last year, I talked about the Bluetti. It is a 700-watt unit, and I bring that. I'm still using that all the time. I love it. I've done a review of it, so you can, I'll put links in the show notes to all the previous reviews that I've done. So I'm using the Bluetti, and I just like it because it's got a lot of power, but it's compact and easy to carry. And then the other one that I'm carrying now, along with the Bluetti, is the Jackery Explore 600 Plus portable power station. It's $429, and I like it because it has a lot of power, 632 watt-hour capacity, so it's really good for like two-day trips, but it fits everywhere. And there's a big difference between the Jackery 600 Plus and then the 1,000-watt units. And I usually find that I'm fine with the 632 watt hour capacity on this, especially when I have the Bluetti with me. It's plenty. And remember, everything I'm doing is electric. Charging all my devices, my computer, my cameras, all the cooking appliances, lighting, all that stuff. This is a really nice unit. And the other thing I like about it, it is both Wi-Fi and Bluetooth accessible. And their app, the Jackery app for the iPhone, is terrific. You can set the controls for it. It's just really well done. They've done a nice job. It only weighs 16 pounds. So it's a lot of electricity for 16 pounds. The LiFePO4 battery, right? So it's the long-lasting battery. It maintains an impressive 70% battery level after 4,000 charge cycles. 4,000 charge cycles this thing is good for. I've been using one for a year now, and I just think they're fantastic. It's a nice companion. So with this 600 Plus, this Jackery 600 Plus, you can plug in the electric kettle pot that draws 500 watts, the Jolie, or you can plug in the MacBook Mini rice cooker that draws 200 watts. I wouldn't run them both at the same time. It does have an 800 watt surge, the Jackery Explorer 6, but I usually only run one at a time. Run one, boil the water, you know, get the coffee going, and then plug in the rice cooker and make the oatmeal, that sort of thing. My power stations fit behind my seat in the ID4, and they're just back there and they're easily accessible. Whereas the 1000 watts, you know, mainly because I'm putting the seat back, right? The 1,000 watt units don't fit back there, and they're heavy, you know, so I feel like, I'm going to strain my back lifting this thing out of odd places. So there's something about finding that sweet spot between size and power. I like the 600 Plus by Jackery. A couple other fun things. These are more for lounging and sleeping and things like that. The Joy Tutus vehicle awning, 4x6 feet by 6x6 feet, roof rack pullout sunshade for $104. And it's a Joytutus for $104. This is an awfully good price. I paid three times that much for my pullout sunshade that I'm using right now. These pullout sunshades, they're terrific. They mount on top of the car. So you have to have racks, but you know, I have racks for all the other stuff too. By the way, I can have the sunshade up there and my tent box go both on the racks. There's room for both. And then when you park wherever you're going to set up camp, you pull out the sunshade and you have an instant patio. And it makes such a psychological difference having that space, because you've got the car behind you, you know, to your back. Then you have the patio awning over. You set up your chair, you set up your stool, you set up your little table, right? It feels really homey, but then you have the whole world, you know, in front of you to observe. And I have just found that having these inexpensive vehicle awnings really change. And even if you're going to sleep outside, even if you're going to set up a tent, even if you're going to do all that stuff, the area for hanging out and visiting with other people and you know, eating and all that, these awnings are terrific. They just give you a real sense of kind of comfort and security that's hard to describe. This one for $104, which is an Amazon recommends. I haven't tested it specifically, but it looks very much like the one that I use. And I just find them fantastic. I think they're just such a great addition. And of course, if it's bright and sunny outside, especially if you're in somewhere that doesn't have trees, then you get that UV50 protection as well. So the Joy Tutus vehicle awning for $104. And then the last thing I'm going to talk about on this list is the HeliBox car camping platform. This is a bit more pricey. This is $499. But it's very interesting, and I have tested it in the field. It's a lightweight sleeping platform and storage system and camping table that fits inside your SUV or your truck. So you can go from daily driver to car camping in a minute. And the key to this is, and the way that you work it, it has six adjustable legs. And the last two, the ones at the head, go very long. So what you do with this very portable platform is you put down the back seats in your SUV, put down the back seats, you move the passenger seat up all the way that'll go. So you've got that big footwell there. And a lot of times that footwell goes to waste. But because this HeliBox has these long legs, then the long legs go down into the footwell. The other sets of legs that are on the folded down seat and in the trunk, they stay short. And so you create a perfectly level platform where you utilize all the space from the where the front seat is pushed up all the way to the back of the car. And that means you can stretch out and sleep inside the car. Now, there's a couple things that I recommend to go with this if you're going to sleep inside the car. One is I really like having screens for the back windows, so you can, you know, just lower the back window on both sides a bit, let some fresh air come, but you don't have to worry about bugs and stuff. You can get these magnetic screens that fit inside the windows for just about every type of SUV and truck. So I like having screens. And then I do find the experience better sleeping inside the car if you have a panorama window on top, right? Because otherwise you're just looking at the roof of your car from the inside. And that feels a little claustrophobic because you're raised up a little bit. So you're not talking about that much space between where your head is laying down on top of this platform and then the inside of the roof. With the panoramic window, it was great because I'm just lying there, you know, looking up at the sky at night. And it's really cool. And I wasn't feeling claustrophobic at all. I wrote up a review of this, and I have a link to the review in the show notes. In the review, I go into all the details about it. Right now, even though I've got the rooftop tent on top, and that is by far the most comfortable sleeping situation for me because it's bigger. It's bigger, airier, there's windows galore, all that. But I did recently take this platform for a spin on a local camping trip, and I liked it a lot. And the one advantage that it really has is that you don't have anything on the outside of the car. For instance, in the case of an electric vehicle, I lose, you know, a little bit of mileage when I have that tent box on top. Whereas if I have the heli box inside or the Healy box inside, I don't lose any mileage at all. So, you know, it does have its advantages. The disadvantages, of course, it's a bit more cramped, right? It's a bit more cramped than having some luxurious big tent that you can just stretch out in and be a starfish. The way I'm using it on this trip is the storage system, because it's a platform and the case that it comes in is a nice long soft footlocker like case. It slides perfectly under this thing, right? So I have my camp chair, my camp stool, a whole bunch of gear, my coffee set, all that stuff is in this footlocker that slides underneath the platform, and I can just, you know, pull it out a little ways, grab what I want, and then push it back under. And then on top of the platform, I can have more storage. I can put my duffel bag or, you know, whatever I want. I find it really efficient. So I have it in the car anyway, even though, like on this trip, I'm not going to be sleeping on it. I still use it. You can also pull it out and use it as a camp table. It works really well. And it's pretty lightweight. What it does is it uses wood slats that are hooked together with elastic rope. And so the wood slats are actually quite comfortable to sleep in. I put a backpacking pad on top of it, and it worked out really great. So it's just a versatile sort of thing. It's a bit pricey, but the nice thing about it is that, you know, when you want to take it out, if you're not camping, it all fits in a little footlocker size soft bag, and you just stash it in the garage. I'm just leaving it in the car all the time. But then again, the ID4 is basically set up for camping. That is my list of interesting things right now. The Grand Peak 2-in-1 stool and footrest, the Big Agnes Mica Basin Camp Chair XL, the Jolie Electric Kettle Pot, the MacCook Mini Rice Cooker, the Jackery Explorer 600 Plus Portable Power Station, the Joy Tutus Vehicle Awning 4.5 feet by 6.5 feet, and the Heli Box or the Healy Box Car Camping Platform. Good stuff. All of this will make your camping experience a lot more comfortable. Okay, let's talk a little camera industry news here. There's a piece of software, and it's called Musebox, Musebox. I found this article on Petapixel, so then that led me to check out the software itself. The article on Petapixel, I have a link in the show notes. It says, if you miss aperture on Mac, Musebox could be the answer. Now, I'll say it could be the partial answer, and I'll explain that more in a minute, but let me read you what they say. Apple users who miss aperture may be pleased to hear that Brushed Pixel Software's app, Musebox, is an aperture-inspired Lightroom alternative for Mac. In 2015, Apple discontinued its popular professional photo editing and management software, Aperture, replacing it with the Photos app. The move essentially was throwing in the towel against the popularity of Adobe Lightroom. And the abandonment of Aperture meant that many popular Aperture-only plugins were lost to the ever-churning forward march of technology. One such plugin, Catapult by Brush Pixel Software, was popular, allowing photographers to use Aperture as a digital asset manager with other RAW converters. However, with demand for the nostalgic and popular Aperture still not lost, Brush Pixel decided to move away from just being a plugin and create its own digital asset management software, Musebox. Quote, With Aperture gone, I spent some time trying out alternative apps like Lightroom and Capture One, but they're too focused on photo editing. There wasn't anything else that put metadata on the forefront like Aperture did. Really, there's a lot of great photo editing apps out there, but there's nothing that lets you glue them together with a comfortable workflow, says the Brush Pixel software folks. So we made MuseBox to substitute for Aperture. That means when it comes to managing a library of photos, it's the closest competitor to Lightroom. But unlike Lightroom, it has a native Mac user interface, one that some passionate photo enthusiasts will find very comfortable. So it's a data solution for photographers, designers, videographers, and professionals with extensive photo libraries. It's well suited for creatives on the go because it offers the ability to work offline, which is uncommon in some apps of this nature. Additionally, users can manage infinite storage on external drives without cloud subscription fees or browse media on disconnected drives using preview thumbnails. The MuseBox app utilizes a customizable file and folder naming organizational style with presets and the ability to relocate files across removable hard drives. To keep all of your files properly sorted, MuseBox allows users to assign ratings, hierarchical keywords, and color labels with keyboard shortcuts. Users can even utilize Metadata Inspector to include custom attributes with separate meta displays for list and thumbnail views. Searching for images appears to be very simple, with an auto-stack photos feature to group images by time and then compare them side by side using a synchronized pin and zoom to select and label the keepers from a photo shoot. MuseBox promises robust export features and settings, including control over things like format, size, and metadata. Preferred settings can be saved as custom presets to save time with frequent export tasks and ensure homogeneous and consistent workflow. Additionally, exporting is made even more streamlined with the ability to share work to social media using macOS share menu extensions. Now, here's the thing about this. Mac users interested in trying this latest workflow solution will be pleased to hear that MuseBox is a use forever app. A perpetual license for macOS is $19 and on sale for the launch at $16.15. $19. Okay. So I was going, I need to take a look at this thing. Right. And so I did. So I downloaded it. I bought it, bought the perpetual license, downloaded it. I'm weirdly intrigued by it. So you can do some basic editing with it. It's not a Lightroom substitute by any stretch on the editing side. You have basic editing controls with it. Basically all that you need, generally speaking, to touch up a photo. So when you're looking at the edit tools, you have exposure, temperature, tint, highlight, shadows, color and tone controls like saturation, chroma, contrast, brightness, things like that. You have selective color. You do have selective color. So it has some basic things. It also has cropping, and you can level horizons with it. You can copy and paste edits. So it's basic in the editing side, but on the metadata side and the organization side, it is crazy. It is like Aperture on the metadata side and very customizable. Can import photos from your photos library easily, but you can bring them in from anywhere. You can bring them in from a card and use it as a power sorting tool, and rate and sort. It does very good with understanding metadata from other apps. So like if you rated something in another app, like in my case, Capture One, I brought in some Capture One images and the star ratings and the flags and everything all came over with it. It operates really fast. You can export really easily. And there is a ton of metadata and keywording and all the stuff you can do with it. And it looks like Aperture. It does look like Aperture. All in all, I'm just intrigued by it. Is it for you? It just depends on, if you're sort of a metadata geek or an organizing geek or a sorting geek, I think you would really enjoy this. It's not going to be a substitute for Lightroom or Capture One or any of those. but it is awfully fun for uploading your images, rating them, taking a look at all the little metadata details, and then moving them on to wherever you need to move them on to. It's called MuseBox. I have a link to it, both the Petapixel article and to the actual software in the show notes. Okay, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. I'm going to start out with our workshops. We have some new workshops on the list. If you haven't been over to our workshops page lately, make sure that you take a look at these four workshops that are still open. Sonoma County Autumn Adventure Workshop. This is in November in Sonoma County, which is the best time to be here for fall color. For Safari West, you know, the great African animal reserve, for wine tasting, for wine country photography. It's just beautiful. It's fun. You get to hang out at our headquarters here at Digital Story. The Creative Camera Techniques Online Workshop in June still has a couple openings, and that's where we're going to get into all sorts of good creative stuff. Then Rob is leading the Sony Creative Masterclass, and that starts on May 8th, and that is for Sony mirrorless camera shooters. Learn the ins and outs of your camera like you never have before. And Rob is a fantastic teacher and loves shooting with Sony. So that is available. And then the Route 66 Photography Workshop, also led by Rob, and that starts on October 16th. They start in Las Vegas. Explore a nice long stretch of Route 66 for a few days, and then head back to Las Vegas. I think it'd be a terrific road trip with a lot of wonderful pictures. That starts on October 16th. All of that's available by clicking on workshops, either at the Digital Story at or thenimblephotographer.com. And I have links to all of these in the show notes. Want to give a huge shout out to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that keep this community putting along. We have our own space on Derek Story Online where they hang out. And those workshops I mentioned, Inner Circle members get a 10% discount on all the workshops. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, just click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. You can sign up there. And then I'll be getting in touch with you and get you set up with all of your benefits. A big thanks to our Inner Circle members for supporting this community. And finally, I'd like to acknowledge our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. These are the folks that supply the paper and the know-how to make sure that you can print like a professional. You have an inkjet printer, right? Everyone has an inkjet printer, whether it's a smaller one, a multifunction one, or a large 13-inch or 17-inch printer. I know all of us have a printer waiting there. How often are we using it to create beautiful artwork? Probably not as often as we can or as we should. And there is something so different about a beautiful print on fine art paper. It just elevates the image to a whole new place. It is literally artwork. And you can learn how to do this with the information that's on the Red River Paper site. And you can choose from their vast catalog of printing papers. And they will even help you choose the right paper for the project that you're working on. All you have to do is click on the Red River Paper tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Start with our landing page. Take a note of the code so you get free shipping, read some tutorials, find some paper, and begin making artwork out of your images. You'll see them in a whole new light. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Working on more great stuff for next week. Right now, I'm off to the Redwoods. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.